Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Our subject has been how to deal with pride, and this time, part three, look at this now, how to survive the pride and the narcissism of everybody else around us. Oh my God, we're living in an environment of narcissism, and everybody's out to promote themselves and demote you, put you down, get themselves lifted up. That's the deal. Now, just a very quick review. We have three parts to this. And by the way, let's make sure we understand our definition of pride. It is the excessively high opinion of one's own worth or importance, which gives rise to a feeling of attitude of superiority over others. Like, I'm the king of the castle, you're the dirty rascal. And it's an inordinate self-esteem. We've covered that in detail. But there are three parts to this, and here's what they are. Number one, we wanted to learn how destructive pride is. So in our first session, we spent time 26 destructive effects of pride. It's amazing. It causes wars around the world, as well as personal combat. Then the last time we got together, it was, what is the biblical and moral cure for my own pride? How do I deal with pride? And then our subject today is how to recover from the destructions that are caused by the pride of others. And there is a bunch of them. I want you to know that God wants you to not just survive, but conquer when other people have attempted to dismiss you, mock you, ridicule you, treat you with less than dignity that you deserve. Here's what God says. Thou, God, shall hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. And thou shalt keep them secretly from the pavilion of the strife of tongues. We're going to come to that. What we want to do right now is we want to go back to our subject and make sure you got it clear. This is what it is. How to survive the pride and the narcissism that comes from others. Survival's a really big deal. And how are we going to do it when, in fact, we are living in a culture that is totally narcissistic? Before we start, I want to give you a scriptural alert, because you may have trouble receiving what the scriptures are about to be presented to you. So I want you to catch this. The natural man, that is the guy who thinks the way everybody else thinks, the natural man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, if you are going to have a natural think, then you're going to have a hard time receiving how to conquer this. Now look at this, because the scripture goes on. The natural thinking person cannot receive the things of God. They are foolishness to him. Some of the things I'm going to show you will seem like foolishness if you have a natural thinking mind. They will seem like foolishness, and you cannot know them. You will not enter in and receive these things. You cannot know them, for they are spiritually discerned. That is to say, the natural man that's not spiritual cannot receive this. That's foolishness to him. He can't even know them, because he doesn't have a spiritual mind. My hope for you right now is that you will have a spiritual mind so that you can receive. Now the scripture goes on. This is what it says. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he can instruct him? Who's going to tell God what he ought to do today? In fact, it's amazing. Prayer has become us giving God advice. What prayer should be a time when we go to him to report for duty? It's more important that he tell us what to do than that we tell him what to do. Do you think we need to do? No. Who thinks they can instruct God? But I'll tell you who the answer to that is. The natural man. The prideful man. The egotistic man. The narcissist thinks he's smarter than God. And he can tell God what to do. Watch this now. Who thinks he can instruct God? But we don't even try to do that because we have the mindset of Christ. Remember, the natural thinking man is not going to be able to receive what we're about to talk about. But if you have the mind of Christ, you'll get this. We have the mind of Christ. It's true. And let me put it in front of you. That though we walk in the flesh, like we're here with everybody else, we don't conduct ourselves like everybody else. We do not war after the flesh, those natural ways of doing things. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. Now, watch this, because here's the problem. In a narcissistic culture, when everybody around you is putting themselves first and you at the end of the trail, the last to be considered, the one that's put down, ignored, which is even worse, undignified, what happens is you can end up in a stronghold, the grip of that thing. But we're about to see. Now watch this. We don't fight that way. The weapons of our war are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, and they pull down strongholds. Casting down imaginations and casting down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And number three, bringing to captive in our minds every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what we do. And this is where you get the scriptural certainty that all of the damaging effects from the narcissism around you can be eliminated. They get cast down. Everything that's contrary to God, and He does not want you to be dominated by any human being. Let's talk for a moment really intimately. Nobody is qualified to rule your life except God. Why? He's the only one wise enough and loving enough to give you the right directions. He has no agenda but your well-being. That's what love is. Choosing what is good for others without personal profit or benefit as the motive. That's why you can trust Him. That's why you can trust Him. So the question now becomes, how do we survive the pride of narcissism of other people? And number one, stay calm. I told you the natural man doesn't like it. I don't want to stay calm. I want to react. Now, stay calm. That's how you survive. You don't let anybody push your button, yank your chain. The person who can anger you is now in control. Stay calm. Here's the scripture. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Look what He says. In returning and rest, you'll be safe. Relax. And then look at this. He says, in confidence, in quietness, and in confidence shall be your strength. Problem is that these people to whom it was written, they said, no,
but I want you not to miss this. In quietness, stay calm, cool, collected, composed, you. Doesn't matter how bad the surround is, how noisy they are. Quietness, confidence, it's going to be your strength. Stay calm. Number two, stay in the trusted presence of God. He's the only one you can trust. Watch. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them, look at this, that trust in thee before the Narcissus sons of men. Keep your trust in God. Because look at what it says. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from, look at this now, from the pride of men. Woo! Stay in the trusted presence of God, because there's stuff going to happen to you in His presence that the pride of men can't reach you. Look at, it goes on to say, thou shalt keep them secretly. Oh. In a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Isn't that where the action is? Blah, 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 blah. Put down mocking, ridicule, one-upmanship. The strife of tongues. Stay in the trusted presence of God, because He will hide you. He will keep you secretly. In a pavilion, that's like a castle, from the strife of tongues. Then learn to follow the laws, the wonderful instructions of God. Well, let me talk about that for a moment. Everybody, when most people react to the word the laws of God, the ones who object to the laws of God are only the ones whose life and lifestyle is interfered with by those laws. If you're going the right way, then the laws don't interfere. They are happy guidelines to do that on which your heart is properly set already. Ooh. They are instructions for your success. The laws aren't to take, it's to spoil your good time. They are to help you have a good time. They aren't to put you down, they're to lift you up. Follow the laws, because the laws are the wonderful instructions of God. All right, watch here now. This is my comfort in my affliction. The narcissists around me. For thy word hath quickened. I mean, it's resolved issues for me, right? The proud have had me in greatly in derision. But watch the solution. Yet have I not declined from thy law. That's how I can handle this. I follow the laws, the wonderful instructions of God. And look at this. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. So make sure, relax, stay calm. Follow the wonderful laws, the instructions of God. I don't want to leave that for a moment. Here's an interesting scripture. Let the proud be ashamed. Why? Because they deal perversely with me without a cause. I didn't even provoke them, and they're being nasty to me. Even if it's just, they just ignore me. They just, it's like I'm a nothing and a nobody. Well, let the proud be ashamed, for they have dealt perversely with me without a cause. If But what's the solution now? But I will meditate in thy precepts. I will meditate in thy... See? Follow the laws. Keep the precepts. Keep the statutes. Keep the ways of God. Because he's going to show you how to nullify the destruction that comes from the mistreatment of others around you. Number four, you want to maintain your humility because that's what puts God into action on your behalf. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He's going to lift you up. And he is more than sufficient to overcome all the put-downs that you've been receiving from everybody else. So maintain your humility. Remember the scripture again. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, on the right hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care. Hey, remember that thing about right at the front end? Rest. No sweat. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. He is your strong tower that you get to run to. So be sober, be vigilant. Because you have an adversary, he's the devil, and he's using all those narcissists. Let me talk about this for a moment. Narcissism is the philosophy of the devil. The Bible word for it is iniquity. Narcissism, iniquity. One of the four reasons Jesus went to the cross, he was wounded for our transgressions, aren't you glad? But he was bruised for our iniquities. Remember? We'd all like sheep gone astray, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity. What is the iniquity? It's the going astray to our own way. That's what the devil did. Of him it is said, thou was perfect in all thy ways until iniquity was found in him. He said, I'll be lifted up, I'll be like the Most High God. Proud narcissism, devil. And what he's doing today, because he's still the opponent of God, and his only method now seems to be to get people to reject God and follow him. But not many people live for the devil, but they learn to live like the devil. Narcissistic. That's why they speak evil. That's why they condemn. That's why they point their finger. That's why they judge. So this scripture says, be sober about this and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. How does he devour you? By keeping you away from the truth. By keeping you away from humility. And living just like him. A narcissist. So make sure that you resist him and his narcissism steadfast in the faith. Now, remember I said you're going to have a hard time with this if you have a natural mind? Well, here's one of them. Watch this now. Because the way to eliminate the pride, the narcissism of others from affecting you detrimentally is to make sure that you disengage in any and every form of contention. It takes two to make an argument, and if you're not in, there's no argument. Let that person fight with himself. Now watch this. Only, this is a key word here, I don't want you to miss it, only by pride. Only by pride comes contention. Mm-hmm. So, we don't do back to them what they do to us. We don't speak disrespectfully to them because they just speak disrespectfully for us. See, the natural mind doesn't get this. But, look at this now. But what the well-advised is wisdom, like smarts, like you are really going to be able to outsmart the narcissist. Foolish and unlearn questions, key word here, avoid. Don't get engaged in contention ever for any reason. Foolish and unlearned questions, avoid. Why? Because they gender strife. Oh, watch here. I don't want you to miss this. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but instead, we must follow the five anti-contention instructions of God. Are you ready for them? Here they are. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. First of five. Not selectively. Not nice to others and nasty to others. Not selectively. All men. Anti-contention instructions. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Number two. Apt to teach. That means having the aptitude, the ability to teach if you're given a proper opportunity. I try not to instruct people unless they ask for it. Get their permission. If they're willing to listen, then your teaching ability kicks in, but not until. Be gentle, able to explain if given the right opportunity. Not in contention, though. And it's going to take patience. So, Rome wasn't built in a day. These narcissists didn't become narcissists momentarily or overnight. I mean, it's been building. They are simply following probably the example of their parents and their upbringing. They've learned to compete with the ones that go to school and their education system and in the workforce. They didn't get there simply and easily. The recover for them is going to take patience. Huh. Yeah, a little girl in my church who said one time, I got news for patience. Patience is a waste of time. Now, let me tell you what the secret of patience is. The secret of patience is finding something constructive to do while you're waiting for opportunity. So, see how easy it is for me to get off track. Follow God's five anti-contention instructions. Must not strive, but number one, be gentle. Number two, apt to teach. Number three, patient. And stay meek. Very close to humility. Except it's a little different. Watch this. Here's a definition. Meekness is my strength under God's control. Oh. It's not belligerent, assertive, overpowering. Meekness is calmness until I know what God is giving me strength to do. Only then. Given instruction to those that oppose themselves. Now, this oppose themselves, those that oppose themselves, is the closest biblical explanation or definition, if you please, that I know of for self-destructive abuses. You understand that the narcissist is in a self-destructive situation, and he wants to destroy you too. Doesn't know that he's doing it to himself. Instructing those who have self-destructive behaviors. Not every suicide is done once with finality. Sometimes it's done on the installment plan. A drink here, a drink there, a drink, a drink, a drink, a drug, a drug, a drug. Each one a nail in the coffin, but eventually death. I hope that you'll be moved with compassion just now. You know, this is a song somebody wrote somewhere. It says, God looked beyond my faults to see my needs. And that's how we must see others. Look beyond their faults to see their needs. Be gentle, able to explain, patient, meek, and instructing those that oppose themselves. Now watch this. You have to leave the recovery possibilities up to God and them. Let me show it to you. This is a continuation of the verse. Watch the one before. Remember, instructing those, the five instructions about avoiding contention, right? If God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. It takes the truth to conquer narcissism. Watch it now. And that they may, look at this, recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. No. They need to be part of the recovery. God plus them equals recovery. But if they don't participate, they may recover themselves. Now watch this. The snare of the devil. What is the snare of the devil? Except his philosophy of life, which is narcissism. And once people commit to his philosophy of life, they are taken captive by him at his will. Ah. Leave the recovery possibilities up to God and up to them. In fact, I don't want you to miss this. And I love how God addresses you, dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. Look at this. Avenge not yourselves. Don't do back to them what they do to you. Don't talk to them like they talk to you. Watch it now. But rather, give place unto their reaction. Don't sweat it. That's what they are like. You can't do much about it. Don't avenge. Don't do back to them what they do. Now watch this. For it is written. Now watch this. Vengeance, any payback, is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh. Leave the recovery up to God and them. Don't avenge yourself. Give place, let them be what they can't help but being now that they're narcissists. Don't you try to get back at them. Because God says, vengeance is mine. Now, often when I go this, here's what God says. I will repay, saith the Lord. He's going to do it. He's going to treat them appropriately all the time, every time. So leave the recovery possibilities up to God and them, and stay out of contention. Follow the five instructions. Now, if necessarily, and it often is, fearlessly, I know I don't have trouble saying this, but I want to help you to be able to hear it. Remember, I started out by saying the natural mind, the natural man, receives not the things of God. They're foolishness to him? Well, the test right now is whether you have a natural mind or a spiritual mind, because if you have a natural mind, you're not going to buy in this. But if you're spiritually, if you have the mind of Christ, if you think the way Christ thinks, you'll get this. Here it is. Point number 8. If necessary, fearlessly enjoy any proper suffering. Oh, I'm going to come back to that. But let me say this. This is what Jesus did, right? And they came against him, and he answered not a word. They spat on him. They smote him. He didn't fight back. Because he was suffering properly for a good cause. What was the cause? Your salvation and mine. Your redemption and mine. Your recovery from narcissism and mine. Your victory over pride and mine. So what's this now? Because we have the mind of Christ. Fearlessly enjoy any proper suffering. Now, look at the odds. That's what this verse is. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Most people don't do bad to people who do good to them. In an attempt to provoke, they might do that. But the odds are, if you follow these principles of Scripture, that who is he that will harm you if you're doing good? But, and if you suffer for doing what's right, righteousness' sake, look at this. Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, and don't even let them trouble you. This is how you survive the pride and the narcissism of others. Because you are an individual person, sovereign, under God, protected by God, and if suffering you're doing for good sake, but if you're good, people probably aren't going to mess with you. But if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their terror, and don't be troubled by them. This is how you conquer. This is how you survive the pride and the narcissism of others. Because doing this, you will be able to stay condemnation free. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But notice this, the condition is that we're not doing the flesh thing, the natural thing, but the Spirit thing. All right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I haven't got time to go into the details of that. Wish I did. Maybe another time. 10. Stay vertically accountable to God alone. No matter what they do to you, don't let them provoke you to becoming like them. Stay accountable vertically to God alone. Look at the scripture. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master. He stands or falls. Yea, God is holding him up, but God is able to make him stand. So God can make you stand. He can hold you up. That's why you want to stay accountable vertically to God alone. Let him direct you. Don't worry about them. Just follow these principles, because they will enable you to survive pride and narcissism of others. Now, I want to close with an exception. Because with those narcissists, you can just let it go, right? You let it go. Like, you know, one scripture says, a heretic after the second and third admonition reject. I mean, just, no, I mean, just let it go, right? But what if you're married to a narcissist? And what if you have a child who's a narcissist? Or worse, what if your child who has a parent that's a narcissist? Prideful. So I want to talk about additional steps for those who are married and for the children. That is, those who are in binding relationships with others. Because you can't walk away. You have to live there. So what should you do about it to survive? So here are a few points for those who are married to a narcissist or parent, child, or whatever, maybe even a business partner, whatever, a binding relationship. First of all, always evaluate yourself first. Maybe I'm provoking this. So the scripture, Jesus said, why do you look at the mote in your brother's eye and consider not the beam that's in your own eye? Why are you thinking about... why do you think the other guy's got a whole log in his eye and you only got a splinter? Deal with your splinter, because then you can see properly. Got to evaluate yourself first. Number two, kindly confront their narcissism and their pride. You don't have to overlook it. Confront it. Caution. You confront without being confrontational. Being confronting doesn't mean you have to be nasty. You can be nice. You can be gentle. You can be caring. But you don't just walk away. You confront it nicely. Here's the scripture. If your brother trespasses against you, look at this. Go tell him his fault. Watch it. No spectators. Tell him between thee and him alone. The moment there's a spectator, everybody's response is determined by how they think the spectators are going to receive it. See, witnessing, I want to witness a person one-on-one, because if he's got a buddy listening in, his response to me is going to be tailored, colored, distorted by his awareness of somebody else listening in. So go tell him his fault alone. If he hears you, you gained your brother. You resolved the issue. Then explain the way to a better relationship. Ask questions. Have a conversation. Don't grumble, complain, or accuse, or condemn. Kindly confront, right? And explain the alternative, where we both are watching out for each other. We're team players. And if you have a difficult time, I recommend that you get this, one of my books called How You See Yourself. Originally, it was called How to Conquer Narcissism. But nobody knew what narcissism was, so nobody bought the book. And it's not that I care about the people buying the book, but they don't get the benefit of what's in the book. So we renamed it. But it's going to deal with the same kind of... It'll help understand the way to a better relationship. Then you can appeal to that person for change. And now, it's beyond the scope of this time together, but there are seven principles of making what's the biblical understanding of a wise, godly appeal. This is what you do when someone in authority has gone astray. You appeal to them. You make an appeal. But there are seven principles, and if you go to our website, nothingbutthetruth.org, you can probably find it there listed for you. Follow those. And then if you still have no success, appeal to a higher authority. So, if you aren't successful dealing with your employer, go up higher, or a higher authority. That's why authorities are in our life. They're there to benefit us, to get help, not to tattletale, but to make an appeal for change. These are the principles I've found in the scripture on how to survive the pride and the narcissism of others. And I want you to know that what's really important to me is your well-being, and that you will not let the culture and its narcissism destroy your soul, your mind, your emotions, your mental health, and even your physical health and body. Instead, if you follow God, you'll never make a mistake, and it will always, always work in your favor.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/see. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE.